الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Continue our readings in the treatise Kashf al-Shubuhat, removing the doubts with regards to the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His right to be worshipped alone with no partners, by the great Imam Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala. In our previous classes, we have been discussing the principles that the author here mentioned rahimahullah in the introduction of this work with regards to the clarification of the creed and the belief of all of the prophets and messengers alayhim as-salatu was-salam and those who followed them, and likewise the creed and the belief of the pagans and the polytheists, of the pagans and polytheists, specifically of those from the Arab in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, clarifying the call of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the call to single out Allah alone with all actions of worship, with sincere faith and devotion and love and servitude and sincerity, and with love, hope and fear and trust and reliance, and to make all of that for the sake of Allah alone. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he called to, and that which his people were upon, and that which he warned them from, and that which he forbade them from sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was that they would worship Allah azza wa jal with intercessors, that they would take intercessors along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So likewise, from the principles that we have seen in the previous class was the creed of Quraysh, and that they believe in Allah azza wa jal. And this is a very important point to understand the reality of a Tawheed, and that was the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he came with. That Quraysh, the tribe of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who opposed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fought him and attempted to kill him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise he fought them, and in the end of his life he was granted victory over them sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their creed was that they believe in Allah, that they believe that Allah, He is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and He is the provider and the sustainer. And they believe that the one who sends the rain from the sky is Allah. And they believe that the one who provides the provision is Allah, Allah with no partners. And they believe that the one who has true authority and command is Allah alone. But they had taken intercessors along with Allah, believing that their intercessors would draw them near to Allah. And they call these intercessors Aliha. And they call these intercessors Aliha. Aliha, gods, yani, which is the plural of ilah. So they would take them as Aliha, and they believed that the Aliha would draw them near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They took them as Aliha, and they also called them awliya, and the lies cite this. And this was their creed. So they believe in Allah, and they believe in the lordship of Allah, and they believe in the command and the authority of Allah, but they took partners along with Allah as intercessors. As intercessors, believing that they would bring them close to Allah, believing that they have sins and that their souls are tainted and weak, and that they would seek nearness to these righteous souls and to these pious and pure souls from the souls of the angels and the prophets and messengers and the righteous, so on and so forth, believing that these souls would be a means to draw them near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is from the utmost importance to understand. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he opposed them in that. He did not accept that from them. This belief here is not sufficient. If we were to ask, what is the creed of the leaders of Quraysh? What was the creed of Abu Jahl? What was the creed of Abu Lahab? And the likes like this, did they believe in Allah? The answer will be, yes, they believe in Allah. How did they believe in Allah? They believe that Allah is the creator. They believe that Allah is the sustainer. They believe that Allah, He has the command and authority. But along with that, what was their issue? That they took intercessors with Allah. They worshipped idols and others besides Allah, believing that they would draw them near to Allah. Believing that they would draw them near to Allah. This was their creed. This was their belief. And even whenever the situation became very dangerous and very serious, and they were in dire need and great distress, at this time they would leave their Aliha. At this time they would leave their intercessors, and they would call on Allah alone. And this was from their creed. This was from their belief, because they know in times of great distress and hardship, no one can save except for Allah. They know in their creed, in their belief, in their heart, they know that in times of great distress and hardship and difficulty, that no one can save them except for Allah. But the reality is that no one can save them except for Allah at all times. At all times, in every circumstance and situation. So this was their mistake and this was their fault. And this was the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought them. And this was the reason why they refused to say La ilaha illallah. This is the reason why they refused to say La ilaha illallah, because they understood what that means. That means that they would have to leave off their aliha. They would have to stop seeking nearness to their false gods and to seek nearness to Allah alone directly. And they were not ready to do this. So therefore, there was the great dispute that occurred between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his people. Between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his people. So we continue reading now after reviewing that which has preceded, and the author, he says, وَهَذَا التَّوْحِيدُ هُوَ مَعْنَى قَوْلِكَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. He says, and this tawheed, meaning the tawheed that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called you, and the tawheed that Quraysh, they rejected. This is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. This is now, the author rahimahullah ta'ala is coming to the summarization. He's making the point now. All of that which has preceded is leading up to this issue. Everything that has preceded, discussing the issues related to the call of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and rather the call of all of the prophets and messengers alayhim wa salatu wasalam, and likewise the belief in the creed of Quraysh, and that which Abdul Muttalib was upon, and that which Quraysh was upon from falsehood, from their creed and belief, all of this is leading up to clarify now the reality and the truth. وَهَذَا التَّوْحِيدُ, and this tawheed, referring to that which has preceded, meaning the tawheed of all of the prophets and messengers, the tawheed of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he called to sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was upon, and that his people opposed him with regards to, and that which his people opposed him with regards to, هُوَ مَعْنَى قَوْلِكَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That's the meaning of your statement whenever you say, يعني أيها المسلم, whenever you say لا إله إلا الله. That's the meaning of لا إله إلا الله. He says الإله عندهم هو الذي يقصد لأجل هذه الأمور سواء كان ملكا أو نبيا أو وليا أو شجرة أو قبرا أو جنيا. So the author, he says now الإله, discussing this term, discussing this noble statement, the statement of Al-Ikhlas, and the statement of Al-Tawheed, La ilaha illallah, and this is the statement of Al-Tawheed, Kalimatu Al-Tawheed, wa Kalimatu Al-Ikhlas, wa Al-Urwatu Al-Wuthqa. This is the statement of sincerity, and the statement of purity, and the statement of Al-Tawheed, and is the strong handhold, yani the means to enter paradise, the Miftahul Jannah, the key to paradise, La ilaha, La ilaha, the word ilaha. This is what the author, he wants to clarify now and discuss, and to emphasize, And to clarify, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha. He says, فَإِنَ الْإِلَهَ عِنْدَهُمْ. The word al-ilah, with regards to Quraysh and those people of the Arab in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who opposed him, هو الذي يقصد لأجل هذه الأمور. He is the one who is intended for these affairs, and for the actions of worship and the actions of devotion and calling on the ilah. He is the one who is proper, yani to call on and to hope in and to trust and rely in and to slaughter for and the likes like this. This is what they understood, because this is what they used to do. So in kana malakin, in their creed, whether it was an angel or a prophet, or whether it was a saint, a wali, or a tree, or a grave, or a jinn, regardless of what it was, all of these things here were considered al-ilah with them. They took them as aliha. So now we have to understand this word. The word al-ilah, in English, it means God. It means God. But even in English, we have to understand what is a God. What is a God? A God is something that is worshipped. A God is something that someone deems to be worthy of worship. Something that they submit and surrender to. Something that they love and they obey and comply to. And they humble themselves before with obedience. And the likes like this. This is called a God. And in reality, the gods, they are many. The gods, they are many. But all of the gods besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, they're all false gods. So there are many types of gods. As he's mentioning here, some people, they have taken the angels as their gods. They would call on them and they would worship them and love them and surrender to them and devote themselves to him, to them, and in this manner they're taking them as a god. And likewise others, they have taken prophets as a god by calling on him and worshiping him, and the likes like this, and devoting actions of worship to the prophet in this manner, he has been taken as a god, as an aliha. And likewise the saints or the righteous, and also the trees and the graves and the jinn and the likes like this. If the worship is devoted to them, then they have been taken as a god. They have been taken as a god. So the word ilah, it means linguistically in the English language, it means god. But in the Arabic language, it means ma'bud. And that's likewise the meaning of god. And an object of worship. That's the reality of a god. It becomes an object of worship. So anyone who takes something as an object of worship, that thing has become his god. He has taken that as his god. Anything that somebody takes as an object of worship, he has taken that thing as his god. So the one who takes a tree as an object of worship, that tree has become his ilah. And the one who takes a prophet as an object of worship, then the prophet has become his ilah. And the one who takes a grave as an object of worship, then the grave becomes his ilah. So the ilah, it is a god, an object of worship. It is a god, meaning an object of worship. This is what the Arab, they understood. This is what the Arab, they understood. Those who understand the Arabic language, they will know these affairs. That al-ilah, it means ma'lu, which means ma'bud, has the same meaning. It means the one that is worshipped, means the one that one he will go to it, and he would intend it and devote himself to it with love and with servitude and with hope and with humbleness and with fear, and the likes of these affairs that the author he is mentioning. So he says, لَمْ يُرِيدُ أَنَّ الْإِلَهَ هُوَ الْخَالِقُ الرَّازِقُ الْمُدَبِّرُ. The people of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the people of Quraysh, they did not believe that the ilah was the creator or the sustainer or the one who was disposing of the affairs of the universe. This is not what they understood from the word ilah. This is not what they believed. They would separate between these affairs. They separated between the Rabb and the ilah. They separate between the Rabb and the ilah. Between Ar-Rabb, meaning the Lord, meaning the creator and the sustainer and the provider and the one who's disposing of the affairs. They had no problem in this issue. They believed that that was Allah. But the problem was with regards to Al-Ilah and the Ilahiyah, and the one that is worshipped, the one that is worshipped wholeheartedly and sincerely. So he says, فَإِنَّهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ لِلَّهِ وَحْدَهُ كَمَا قَدَّمْتُ لَكَ. He said, they know, and meaning again, Quraysh, the tribe of Quraysh and the Arab in those days, they know that all of this is for Allah. They know that the creation was in the hands of Allah, and provision and disposing of the affairs of the universe, all of this is for Allah alone. They know this. He says, just like I have mentioned for you previously. And these affairs, we have discussed them, and the author, he has mentioned a number of evidences with regards to that, clarifying that that was their creed and that they believed in that. So he says, وَإِنَّمَا يَعْنُونَ بِالْإِلَهِ مَا يَعْنِي بِهِ الْمُشْرِكُونَ فِي زَمَانِنَا. Beloved this Sayyid. He said, and they only intend with the word ilah, or what they only intend with the word al-ilah, is that which the mushrikun of our time, they intend with this, with the term as-sayyid, with the term as-sayyid. And he's making the comparison with the tribe of Quraysh, and now with the people who have doubts, who ascribe to Islam in the time of the author rahimahullah ta'ala. So what Quraysh considered to be al-ilah is what these people in the time of the author rahimahullah ta'ala, who ascribe to al-Islam, but they take partners along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they take intercessors along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what they mean whenever they say the word as-sayyid. Whenever they say the word as-sayyid. So this word as-sayyid, this is a very popular word. Yani for those people who ascribe to al-Islam and they worship those in the grave. And this is the resemblance here, and this is the reality here. Yani they call, for example, al-Badawi. They call him as-sayyid. As-sayyid al-Badawi. Aw al-Rifa'i. As-sayyid al-Rifa'i. And the likes like this, or As-Sayyid al-Jailani, like the one who is the Wali, also is another term they use. As-Sayyid means literally the master. And al-Wali, yani is the Wali, is the helper and the protector. And the likes like this. So these are the terms that they have. As-Sayyid, al-Wali, and also they might call one of them Sahibu Sir. Sahibu Sir, the one who has a secret. Yani the person that has a secret. And they would have belief. They would believe in the one, in this person, in the Sayyid. In the Sayyid, they believe in the Sayyid, believing that the Sayyid can hear them. believing that the Sayyid or the Wali, or believing that Sahibu Sir, the one who has the secret, the one who has the secret ability, any to help and to have authority in the creation, then they believe that if you call on him, he can hear you. And if you call on him, he will help you. And that he will answer your supplication or bring you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And originally they would call on them believing that they would take him close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even today it has become even more severe and more worse. And they believe that, or some of them believe, that they actually have authority by themselves. Waliyadu billah. So this is the issue here. They misunderstood the people. In the time of the author, rahimahullahu ta'ala, all the way until our day, this issue continues. They have misunderstood and misinterpreted the word al-ilah. And they have misunderstood this affair. So what they claim is the Sayyid or the Wali is what Quraysh used to call al-ilah. This is the point. This is the point. What the people, those mushrikun, from those who ascribe to al-Islam, those who are considered grave worshippers, and they call on the awliya. They call on the awliya in the grave, where they have the sada. The Sa'asada, yani the one who was a Sayyid, or the one who was the Wali, that what they intend by this word, a Sayyid, and what they intend by this word, al Wali, and what they understand by that from their statements and actions, is exactly what Quraysh understood by the word Al-Ilah. Is exactly what Quraysh understood by the word Al-Ilah. So therefore, their religion is the same, even if the names are different. So even if the names change, the realities do not change. Changing the names of something does not change the reality of something. Changing the names of something does not change the reality of something. This is also from the ways of the people of falsehood, that they'll try to introduce their falsehood, or they will try to decorate their falsehood with the truth by changing its name. By changing its name. So they'll change the name of interest. For example, they, instead of al-riba, they'll say al-fawa'id al-bankiyya. Yani they will say benefits, financial benefits, but in reality it's interest. They call it a financial benefit, and the likes like this, and there's a beneficiary, and so on and so forth, but in reality this is called arriba. This is called arriba, this is called interest, and this is haram, and from the worst of all sins, from the major sins and the worst of all affairs. So this is an example of that. So they changed the name from al-ilah to al-sayyid, from al-ilah to al-wali. They changed the name from al-shirk to tawassul. And the likes like this, but the reality is the same. The reality is the same. This is the point of the author. He wants to show clearly their creed and what they used to do, and then compare that to what they're doing now, and we see it's the same thing, although the names are different. Although the names are different. So this is the whole point of this affair. So he says, إنما يعنون بالإله ما يعني به المشركون في زماننا beloved Sayyid. فأتاهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يدعوهم إلى كلمة التوحيد. وَهِيَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ He said, so they only intended, meaning the mushrikun in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they only intended by the word al-ilah, that which the mushrikun of our day intend by the term as-sayyid, the master. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to them, and he came to his people who had taken the aliha, and he called them to the statement of at-tawheed, and it is لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ La ilaha illallah. There's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. He says, وَالْمُرَادُ بِهَذِهِ الْكَلِمَةِ مَعْنَاهَا لَا مُجَرَّدُ لَفْذِهَا And the author, he says, and the intent from this statement, and the intent from this statement here, he's making important points, very important points, and these are points where the people have gone astray. Any of the Muslims have gone astray until they called on a Sayyid besides Allah, until they called on the Wali besides Allah, until they humble themselves and they beg and cry before a grave. And the likes like this. And we have seen before, even some of those graves are not even true graves. Or some of those graves are not even graves of men, rather they're graves of animals. Or some of their graves are not even graves of righteous, rather they're graves of wicked. So on and so forth. They have been so deceived. They have been so deceived. This is the manner. By misunderstanding the statement, La ilaha illallah. Or not even understanding it at all. So he says, وَالْمُرَادُ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْكَلِمَةِ مَعْنَاهَا لَا مُجَرَّدُ لَفْذِهَا And the intent from this statement is its meaning, not simply pronouncing it. The intent from the statement, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ is its meaning, not simply stating it. So stating the this kalima, pronouncing this statement is a requirement. is a requirement, especially for those who are going to enter into al-Islam. It must be pronounced for those who have the ability. The shahada, it must be pronounced. The person he wants to enter into al-Islam, he must pronounce that statement. He must say, La ilaha illallah, ashhadu, and la ilaha illallah, I bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. But this statement here, the pronunciation of this statement, this is only a means. And the aim and the goal is to understand it and to implement what it requires and necessitates. Stating the pronouncing this statement is only the means. It's not the goal. It's not the aim. It's not the aim. The pronunciation of this statement is intended for a person to say it based upon understanding it. And then after that, implementing what it requires and necessitates. So to understand its meaning, this is the golden aim. You need to understand its meaning and to work by way of it. This is the goal and the aim, not to simply state it. So a person who's came in, for example, right now, and he said, La ilaha illallah, we told him, say, La ilaha illallah. A disbeliever, for example. And he just said it after us. Would it benefit him? We didn't tell him anything else. He just sat with us and we said, say, La ilaha illallah. He said, La ilaha illallah. Would it benefit him? He has no clue what it means. He has no understanding what he's saying. He's just saying something we told him to say. How could it benefit him? It will not benefit him until he knows what he says. Until he knows what he says. It will not benefit him until he knows what he's saying. It will not benefit him until he knows what he's saying. And he believes in that. And then likewise, he implements that in his life. And likewise, he must implement that in his life. And at this time, the statement will become heavy on a scale. Until that, it would not benefit. It's something light. It's like nothing. Somebody to say the statement and not know what it means, how could they work by way of it? How could it benefit them? So having knowledge of the statement is of utmost importance, whether it's from the greatest obligations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. So you must know, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. You must know, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is an address directed directly to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise understood, yani, as well, that his ummah is addressed with this as well. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. You must know, and you must have certainty and understand properly that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ, and seek forgiveness for your sins. For your sins, وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, and for those believing men and believing women. فَبَدَأَ بِالْعِلْمِ قَابَلَ الْقَوْلِ وَالْعَمَلِ كَمَّا قَالَ الْبُخَارِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. He began, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He began with knowledge before statement and action. You have to know first. It has come in Sahih Muslim from the Hadith of Uthman radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ قَالَ لَا مَنْ مَاتَ مَنْ مَاتَ هُوَ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. مَنْ مَاتَ, the one who dies, وَهُوَ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. The one who dies and he knows that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, then he will enter paradise. So the statement La ilaha illallah is not simply a statement. You have to die saying that and knowing what it means. And living upon that. And he's striving one's best to implement that and to abide by that. To know what it means, to know what it requires, to know what it necessitates, and then to apply that in one's life. And from the greatest requirements of this statement here, Al-Kufru bima yu'badu min dunillah. To disbelieve in everything that's worshipped besides Allah. From the greatest right, rather, this statement will not be proper and correct until this point here is brought, till this point here is understood and implemented. Al-Kufru bima yu'badu min dunillah. And this is the problem that Quraysh had. This is the point that we want to understand from this portion of the text. That they believe in Allah, but they did not disbelieve in those things that were worshipped besides Allah. They refused to disbelieve in the Aliha. In our days, those people who ascribe to Islam, yet they commit shirk with Allah Azza wa Jal, and they make this statement, that's because they do not understand what it means. So they likewise have the same problem, and they refuse to disbelieve in the awliya. And they refuse to disbelieve in the sada. Rather, they believe in the sayyid, and they believe in the wali, the belief that is for Allah alone. The belief that is required and necessitated from the statement, La ilaha illallah. They give some of that to the wali. They give some of that to the sayyid. They give some of that to the shaykh. They give some of that to sahib asir. This is the problem with these people. They misunderstood this word. they misunderstood this word. And from the ways that they have misunderstood, that is because many of those misguided callers, they misinterpret this word. They say La ilaha illallah, it means La khaliqa illallah. Or they say La raziqa illallah. Or they say La mudabbira lil umuri illallah. La qadira ala al-ikhtira' illallah. They have misinterpreted this statement like this. There's no creator except for Allah. There's no provider except for Allah. There is no one who is able to originate and bring into existence except for Allah. This was, there's no one who truly disposes of the affairs of the universe except for Allah. So although all of these statements in themselves, they are true statements, they're not the meaning and they're not what is intended by the statement of it, of a tawheed. So this is the wrong interpretation of La ilaha illallah. And had these interpretations been correct, then there would never have been any dispute between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his people, because they already believed that. Because they already believed that. So if you ask Abu Jahl, who's the creator, he says Allah. If you ask Abu Jahl, who's the provider and sustainer of the universe, he say Allah. If you ask Abu Jahl, who's the one who brings everything into existence, and he'll say Allah. You said, does anyone else bring anything into existence? Does Lat provide from the heavens and the earth? He would say, no. Who provides your earring? Does Lat give your earring? Does Uzza give you your hearing and seeing? He would say, no. You would, no, what's wrong with you? No, this is for Allah alone. This was their creed and their belief. And then if you say, you're going to try to get to the point, then why do you call on Lat and Uzza? They say, هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَوْنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَوْنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. These are our intercessors with Allah. That was their creed. That was their creed. So this is the same thing that the people are doing today. In the day, in the time of the author, all the way until the time of today, the people, meaning the people who ascribe to al-Islam, the extreme Sufiya and the Rafida, the Shia, they're doing the same thing. They're doing the same thing. They're calling on others besides Allah Azza wa Jal, believing that their souls are pure and that there are means to draw them near to Allah Azza wa Jal. If you ask them what they're doing, they say, no, these are intercessors with Allah. And they call it another name. They call it Tawassul. And the likes like this. But in reality, it's shirk. And it's dua ghairillah. That's the reality of it. Dua ghairillah is calling on others besides Allah. It's calling on others besides Allah. And this is the greatest prohibition. This is the greatest prohibition in the most severe action of disobedience. Waliyadu billah. So it has been collected by Imam Muslim from the hadith of Tariq al-Ashja'i radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned, and to emphasize this point, man qala la ilaha illallah, and the importance of stating this statement, but along with that there must be other requirements. Man qala la ilaha illallah wa kafara bima yu'badu min dunillah haruma maluhu wa damuhu wa hisabuhu ala Allah. And one wording of the same narration, man wahhad Allah, in order to understand what is intended. We're talking about tawheed. We're talking about kalimatu la ilaha illallah. We hear kalimatu at-tawheed. At-tawheed. This is the statement of at-tawheed. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in this narration in Sahih Muslim, that whoever says la ilaha illallah and disbelieves in everything that is worshipped besides Allah, then at this time his wealth and his wealth and his blood will become sacred. And at this time he'll be a Muslim and he has the rights of the Muslims. At this time he will be a Muslim and he has the rights of the Muslim. His wealth and his blood become sacred and his reckoning will be with Allah. And in his reckoning will be with Allah. He will have the reckoning of the believers. In one wording, man wahhad Allah. And man wahhad Allah, the person and whoever made the tawheed of Allah. Wahhad, we have seen before, is the verb, which is from the Masdar al-Tawheed. Wahhada yuwahhidu tawheedan. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man wahhad Allah, whoever makes the tawheed of Allah. And the other wording, man qala la ilaha illallah. So it's from the likes of these evidences here that the people of knowledge have made the clear statement that kalima la ilaha illallah hiya kalimatu at-tawheed. And in some wordings it's mentioned tawheed, in other words it's mentioned this statement. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to the statement la ilaha illallah as man wahhad Allah. Any the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the point from this one here is that this statement is a statement of a tawheed. But likewise, there is another condition here along with that. وَكَفَرَ بِمَا يُعْبَدُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, and disbelieve. So it's not simply just a statement. Rather, along with that, there must be creed. Along with that, there must be creed. That he will say that statement, know what it means, and likewise, this will require for him to disbelieve in everything that is worshipped besides Allah. Any action of worship with the heart, or with the tongue, or with the eyes, with the hands, with the body parts, with statement or action, inwardly and outwardly, if it's devoted to other than Allah, we must disbelieve in that. Falsehood. that thing that's being worshipped besides Allah is not worthy of worship. Devoting that action of worship, whether it's minor or major, whether it's a small action or a large action, whether it's slaughtering a fly or slaughtering a camel, if it's devoted to other than Allah Azza wa Jalla, it's falsehood. And that thing is not worthy of worship. So this is the point here. Likewise, it has been narrated from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, and the famous narration that we have all memorized. The narration that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Buniya al-Islamu ala khams," that al-Islam has been based upon five. Al-Islam has been based upon five. And many of us have memorized this wording, possibly from the 40 hadith of Nawawi. And it has any of the more popular wordings, but there are likewise other wordings that have come in Sahih Muslim. And there are other wordings that are similar that have come in Sahih Muslim from that. I need to emphasize any of this meaning here. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Buniya al-Islamu ala khams, ala an yu'abada Allahu wa yukfara bima duna." That the al-Islam has been based upon five. Al-Islam is based upon five. And this hadith is about mentioning the five pillars of al-Islam. The first one, ala an yu'abada Allah wa yukfara bima duna. That Allah should be worshipped, meaning alone, and that everything besides Allah should be disbelieved in. And everything that's worshipped besides Allah should be disbelieved in. And then after that, wa iqam as-salat, wa itai zakat, wa hajj al-bayti, wa sawmi ramadan, until the end of the pillars. So in the wordings that we are well known, that are well known, and that many of us have memorized, buniya al-islam wa la khams, shahadati an la ilaha illallah, wa anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. So therefore, this other wording here clarifies the meaning. And possibly the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned this narration a number of times in a number of different gatherings. And possibly he used different terms to interpret some of these words. And this is what is meant here. And Allah knows best. So here the in one wording it's interpreted the shahada, that is the first pillar. Buniya al-Islam wa al-Khams, the first pillar. Shahadati an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This wording here clarifies what that means. An yu'bad Allah. What does shahadatu an la ilaha Allah mean? An yu'bad Allah. Wa yukfara bima duna. That you worship Allah alone. That you worship Allah alone and you disbelieve in everything that's worshipped besides Him. And you disbelieve in everything that's worshipped besides Him. And into the rest of the pillars. Also in one wording of this narration as well in Sahih Muslim. Buniya al-Islam wa ala khams ala an yuwahhad Allah. Ala and yuwahhad Allah. That the religion of Islam has been based upon five, and that is that the tawheed of Allah should be made. Ala and yuwahhad Allah. Ala and yuwahhad Allah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He should be singled out alone for all actions of worship. So again, here are these narrations, whenever we gather them together, along with the rest of the text in this issue, we see that the meaning of the statement, La ilaha illallah, is the tawheed of Allah. Is the tawheed of Allah, that Allah, He should be singled out alone for all actions of worship. And that's not proper and correct until one disbelieves along with that in everything that's worshipped besides Allah. And everything that's worshipped besides Allah. So this is the requirement. This is the requirement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the provider, and He is the sustainer. He is the one who sends the rain from the sky. He is the one who causes the sea to split in the earth. He is the one who brings life to the barren land after it has been dead and dried up. He is the one who provides for us. For our life and for our safety and security. He is the one who guides us. Subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Therefore, He alone is the one who's worthy of worship. And devoting actions of worship to other than Him is the greatest action of falsehood and the greatest action of transgression. Inna shirka la dhulmun azim. Inna shirka la dhulmun azim. So this is what the author, he wants to clarify. So the reason why the kufar of Quraysh, the disbelievers and the pagans in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they fought the Prophet. They had the great dispute and the conflict, and they refused to make this statement is because they know what it means. They know what it means. If they say that statement, they cannot take intercessors anymore. If they say that statement, they cannot take intercessors anymore. They cannot. They have to devote themselves entirely to Allah Azza wa Jal. They have to leave off all of their intercessors that they used to call Aliha. So now what is the problem? What is the problem today? Shaitan has made the greatest talbis, the greatest misguidance and misconceptions. And now there are people who are saying this statement, but they're doing the same thing they used to do. They say this statement,
They say this statement many times, but they're doing the same thing that they used to do, those whom the Prophet ﷺ fought. Those who opposed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and attempted to kill him. Those who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the great conflict and dispute with, yani from the time he began to call outwardly sallallahu alaihi wasallam until he was granted victory and the conquest of Mecca. And the conquest of Mecca and after that. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what's the problem? So what's the problem? The problem is they don't know the meaning of the statement that they're saying. The problem is they do not know the meaning of the statement that they're saying. Or they have misinterpreted that statement. And from that is to say that the statement means there's no creator except for Allah. There's no provider except for Allah. That's not the meaning of this statement. The meaning of this statement is there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. It's about worship. The issue is about worship. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was sent to people who believed in Allah. He was sent to people who believed in Allah and believed in the lordship of Allah. And that He is the creator and the provider and sustainer alone. But the issue was that they took intercessors along with Allah Azza wa Jalla, calling them awliya. So therefore the same problem now exists. They have misinterpreted the statement. They have misinterpreted the statement. So the author, he says, وَالْكُفَارُ الْجُهَالِ يَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّ مُرَادَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ بِهَذِهِ الْكَلِمَةِ هُوَ إِفْرَادُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِالْتَعَلُّقِ وَالْكُفْرُ بِمَا يُعْبَدُ مِنْ دُونِهِ وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنْهُ فإنه لما قال لهم قولوا لا إله إلا الله قالوا أجعل الآلهة إلها واحدا إن هذا لشيء عجاب. So the author, he says now, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and the ignorant disbelievers, yani the ignorant disbelievers meaning in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the ignorant disbelievers in the time, yani from Quraysh and the likes, from in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they know that the intent of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with this statement is to single out Allah azza wa jal entirely alone, bit ta'alluq meaning to be with the attachment, yani that the heart will be attached to Allah alone, not to anything from the creation. They knew, Quraysh, the ignorant disbelievers from Quraysh, they knew that what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was intending whenever he came to the market. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, Ya qawmi, qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu. Oh my people, say la ilaha illallah, you will be successful. They knew what he's talking about is that they have to leave off all the attachments that they have in their heart to the awliya, all the attachments that they have in their heart to the awliya and to the aliha and to these other gods and deities and things and objects of worship, the ma'budat that they have besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, that they take as intercessors and they take as partners with Allah Azza wa Jalla, they have to take all of that out of their heart and devote that all to Allah alone. They know that this is what he intended and this is what he wanted. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they knew likewise that this required for them to disbelieve in everything besides Allah and that they must free themselves from that. They have to disbelieve in Lat, and disbelieve in Uzza, and they have to disbelieve in Manat, and they have to free themselves from that. They knew that this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking about. He said, La ilaha illallah. What did they understand? Qulu la ilaha illallah. Oh my people, say La ilaha illallah. What did they understand from that? Oh, he's trying to get us to turn away from our gods. He's trying to get us to turn away from our gods. Innahum kanu idha qila lahum La ilaha illallah. يستكبرون ويقولون أئنا لتالك آلهتنا لشاعر مجنون أئنا لتالك آلهتنا لشاعر مجنون. And this is what they used to say. وكانوا إذا قيل لهم لا إله إلا الله يستكبرون. And they used to, and in the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, if it was said to them, say لا إله إلا الله, يستكبرون, they'll become arrogant, they'll become boastful, they'll become proud, and the likes like this. ويقولون أئنا لتالك آلهتنا. Then they will say, are you really think we're going to leave our gods? The Sha'ir al-Majnun, for a crazy poet, you really think we're going to leave our gods? And this is what they understood. If you said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to them, say la ilaha illallah, what happens to them? They become arrogant, they become proud, they become boastful. And they would say, you think we're going to leave our gods for a crazy poet? You think we're going to leave our gods for a crazy poet? So do you understand the point here? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called them to say la ilaha illallah. What did they understand? They have to leave their gods. They have to leave their gods. They're not ready to do that. They have to leave their gods. They have to leave their intercessors. They have to stop calling on others besides Allah. They have to stop taking mediators besides Allah. They have to stop taking mediators besides Allah. They have to leave off the shufa'a. They have to leave off the shuraka. they have to leave off, in our days, in the times now, they have to leave off the Sayyid. They have to leave off the Wali. They have to leave off the Sayyid. They have to leave off the Wali. They have to leave off the Qabr. They have to leave off the grave. They have to leave off the Darih, the mausoleum and the shrine. They have to turn away from that. They have to stop calling on Hussein and call on Allah alone. They have to stop calling on Ali and Fatima radiallahu anhum and call on Allah alone. They have to stop calling on Al-Rifa'i, Wal-Jailani, and Al-Badawi. We have to call on Allah alone. This is what is required from them. This is what is required from them. So they refuse to say because they knew what it means, and they say it today because they don't know what it means. Because they don't know what it means. If they knew what it means, then they would stop doing that, or they would not say it. If they knew what it means, they would do one of two things. Today, the extreme Sufiyah, those who grave worshippers, and likewise the Rafidah and the Shia and the likes like this, if they knew what it means, either they would stop calling on the graves, or they would stop saying La ilaha illallah, one of the two. If they knew what it meant, if they understood it properly, either they're going to leave off their shirk, which is what is hoped, that they would, the truth would come to them and they would leave off shirk, or else they would stop saying La ilaha illallah. But they don't understand it. They don't understand what it means. That's why they commit shirk and say La ilaha illallah at the same time. That's why they commit shirk and they say La ilaha illallah at the same time, because they're ignorant of the statement. So whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them to say this statement, is he trying to make all the gods one God? What does he mean by this? And does he mean that we have to leave off all the other gods and worship only one God alone? This is the meaning of the statement. You cannot have any other God. You cannot have any other object of worship. You cannot attach your heart with love and fear and hope and trust and reliance to anyone except for Allah. There's no mediators. There's no wasa'ilt. There's no mediators. You go straight to Allah. This is from the majesty and the bounty and the favor and the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and the beauty about Islam, that you call on Allah alone. That every individual, he calls on his Lord and nobody else. And no one can save you except for the one who created you in the manner that we know. And no one can protect you and help you except for the one who created you in the manner that we know. So therefore, to call on others besides Allah is the greatest of all falsehood. أبطل الباطل وأضل الضلالة, and the worst of all misguidance. So then the author, he says, فَإِذَا عَرَفْتَ أَنَّ جُهَالُ الْكُفَارِ يَعْرِفُونَ ذَلِكَ فَالْعَجَبُ مِمَّنْ يَدَّعِي الْإِسْلَامَ وَهُوَ لَا يَعْرِفُ مِنْ تَفْسِيرِ هَذِهِ الْكَلِمَةِ مَعَرَفَ جُهَالُ الْكُفَارِ. He says, so now if you know that the ignorant disbelievers, meaning from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they know this, they know what it means. So what he says, now you see what is so amazing, that those who claim to be upon al-Islam, and they do not even know the interpretation of this statement, that which those ignorant disbelievers, they knew. And is this not from the most amazing affairs? And this is really, if you ponder over this, is something amazing. Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and Umayyah ibn Khalif and the leaders of the Kufar of Quraysh, all of them, they knew exactly what it meant. They knew exactly what it meant. They understood the statement very clearly. They had no doubts about it whatsoever. There was no shubha. They had no shubha with regards to the statement. That's why they were ready to fight against it. They disliked it and detested it, because they understood clearly what it means, and they didn't want to follow that way. And now we have people today coming today, and they say it left and right, but they invalidate it, and they perform the exact same actions that those people who refuse to say it perform. The exact same action. If you ask them, what are you doing? They say, these are our intercessors with Allah. They're drawing us near to Allah. That's what they believe and that's what they do. What they believed and what they did is the same thing what they believe and what they're doing. We understand this. In the time of Quraysh, what they believed and what they did is the same thing what these people who worship the graves today from this ummah, they believe in what they're doing. Their belief is the same and their actions are the same. Their belief is the same and their actions are the same. Do they believe, did they used to believe that their Aliha create? No, they didn't believe that they create. Do the grave worshippers today believe that the one in the grave creates? No, they don't believe that they create. Then why did the Abu Jahl and them, they take idols besides Allah? Because they believe that they'll draw them near to Allah. Why does the people of today, why did they call on the graves besides Allah? Because they believe that they will draw them near to Allah. So they used to slaughter for the idols, and they used to make oaths for the idols, and they used to stay at the graves of the places of the idols, and they would perform all different types of actions of worship for the idols, so on and so forth. all of this believing that they'll draw them near to Allah. And likewise, the same thing, they slaughter for the grave, they make oath by the grave, they swear in the name of the wali, and the likes like this, all believing that that will be a means to draw them near to Allah. So therefore, there's no difference. There's no difference. The only difference is they refuse to say La ilaha illallah, and they accept to say La ilaha illallah. The reason why they refuse to say it, because they know what it means. The reason why they say it and still do all these actions, because they do not know what it means. So how amazing is it that there are people now who say this statement and they don't even know the basic interpretation of this statement, that the ignorant from the kuffar of Quraysh, the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even they knew. Even they knew. So then the author, he says, بَلْ يَظُنُّ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ هُوَ تَلَفُّضُ بِحُرُوفِهَا مِنْ غَيْرِ اِعْتِقَادِ الْقَلْبِ مِنْ غَيْرِ اِعْتِقَادِ الْقَلْبِ لِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْمَعَانِي وَالْحَافِقُ مِنْهُمْ يَظُنُّ أَنَّ مَعْنَاهُ لَا يَخْلُقُ وَلَا يَرْزُقُ وَلَا يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ. He says, rather, these people today, they think that it's just simply to pronounce the statement is sufficient. And they do not know, the people today, how amazing, they don't even know the interpretation of the statement, that which those ignorant disbelievers in the time of Quraysh, they knew. Rather, the people of, referring to the people of his time, any of those who ascribe to Islam, yet they worship the graves, he said, they think that any what this statement means is just to pronounce it only, to say its words, to say the letters of this word, La ilaha illallah, pronouncing it only, that this is going to benefit them, without having any belief in the heart, without having any belief in the heart for the meanings that this requires. And from the greatest meanings that it requires is to disbelieve in everything that's worship besides Allah, and to believe that Allah alone is worthy of worship. This is the meaning of the statement. This is what is required. So therefore, dua should be for Allah. And if somebody may dua for other than Allah, this is falsehood and not allowed. Slaughtering should be for the sake of Allah. And if somebody slaughter for others besides Allah, this is falsehood and not allowed. Taking oaths and swearing should be by Allah alone. And taking oaths and swearing by anyone other than Allah Azza wa Jalla is falsehood. Seeking aid and relief in distress in times of hardship and difficulty is for Allah alone. And directing that to anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless of his status and rank, is falsehood and not allowed. And not allowed. And not allowed. This is the meaning of this statement. This is what this statement requires. But they think that it's just, some of them think that, no, you just have to say it. He said, and the most swift and bright of them, any of those people, I mean the best of them, and those who have the strongest understanding, then they think that the meaning of this statement is that no one creates and no one provides and no one disposes of the affairs except for Allah. That's the best of them. Some of them, any of the worst of them, they just simply state the statement, they have no clue what that means, and they just believe it. You just say the statement that you're all good. You're all good. This is going to be a means to enter paradise, or a means to benefit you. Others, he's saying the best of them, a level higher, any they believe that it means that La ilaha illallah, there's no one who creates or provides or sustains or disposes of the affairs except for Allah. Which in itself is truth, but not the meaning of that statement. Not the meaning of that statement. So he says, فَلَا خَيْرَ فِي رَجُلٍ جُهَالٍ الْكُفَارُ أَعْلَمُ مِنْهُ بِمَعْنَى لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So he says, there's no good in a man, any meaning in a person, that the ignorant disbelievers, of old, have more knowledge, are more knowledgeable with regards to the statement La ilaha illallah. Literally, the statement is very important. And literally, could somebody, for example, again, Abu Jahl, the greatest enemy, from the greatest enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi, he has more knowledge and better understanding of La ilaha illallah than somebody today. He has a better understanding and better knowledge. Which one is better? Is there any good in a person who's alive today? And Abu Jahl has greater understanding and more knowledge of the statement La ilaha illallah than him? Could there be any good in this person? Abu Jahl, the greatest enemy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who used to walk behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say Muhammad is Muhammadun Majnun, the one who harmed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam physically, and likewise in his reputation, and his family, and the likes like this, made his sons divorce his daughters, and the likes like this, belittling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam every chance he could get, and the likes like this. This man, he understands La ilaha illallah in a manner better than somebody today. Can there be any good in a person like this? So this is so important. Therefore, what does this lead to? That we have to have diligence to understand this statement. Na'udhu billah an yakuna Abu Jahl يعني أعلم بهذه الكلمة منا. We seek refuge with Allah. That Abu Jahl will have more knowledge of this statement than us, or he will understand it better than us. And this is the problem: why a person who will call on a grave, while a person who will call on a wali, while a person who will call on a sheikh, because in reality he don't know what he's saying. And why he does that and says La ilaha illallah. Why he does that and says La ilaha illallah, because he does not know what he's saying. It's not possible that he knows what he's saying. And either he does not know what he's saying, like the author he mentioned, or he misinterpreted that. He misunderstood that. Because had he knew the true meaning, he would never call on a grave. Because the whole intent from the statement in the first place is to not call on anyone except for Allah alone with no partners. It's to not call on anyone except for Allah alone with no partners. So, inshallah, we suffice with that. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.